Our scripture reading today is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It's in Pew Bible 1038. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline.
We are here today, at least in part, to remember our mothers, some of whom are still physically with us, and some who are with us only spiritually and emotionally, as we mentioned earlier. And I want you to take a moment, just a brief moment, and think about some of the lessons or memories that you have of your own mom. Some grade school children were asked about mothers. Why did God make mothers? I just want to share a few of their answers. She's the only one who knows where the Scotch tape is. Another one said, think about it. It was the best way to get more people. That child's smarter than they might think. Why did God give you your mother and not another? We're related. God knew she likes me more than other people's moms do. What ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angels' hair and all that is nice in the world and one big dab of mean. What's the difference between moms and dads? Moms work at home and at work. Dads just got to work at work. Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Well, at least some. And while I know that there have been many dads in history to teach and to lead families with God, a very significant number of mothers and mother figures in churches and schools and in the neighborhood have led the children to church. And oftentimes it is those women who have led children into making decisions about accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is those women who continue to pray, not just for missions and to share missions, but continue to pray for the children, their own and others. And that's where we pick up in today's passage that Beth read a short time ago. Didn't know until this morning that I said, so you get all the words down? She said, well, yeah, I think so. She said, you know, I had a grandmother Lois. So it kind of spoke to her there as well. This is a passage we've studied before, but I want to come at it from a slightly different angle than we have done in the past. At how one important task of mothers and those ladies who are surrogate mothers in church and in the neighborhood, that important task is the passing of the torch of Christian faith. The passing of that torch of Christian faith to children, and not just their own, but any who would come under their influence. I, like Chris, had other mothers in the neighborhood. My mom didn't hesitate to spank other kids, and their moms didn't hesitate to spank me. And that was okay with our moms, not with us. It was okay with our moms. In the verses before verse 5, the writer has spoken to Timothy of the joy he has experienced because of hearing of Timothy's tears and Timothy's tears of joy. the concern of those tears causes him to remember and to reflect. To reflect upon Timothy's sincere faith. What is that faith and where did Timothy learn it? We might ask. New Testament theologian Hewlett Glore writes, and I quote, "Faith should be construed here as trust in God or Jesus Christ, a trust that results in obedience. It is possible to construe it as the content of the Christian message, intellectual orthodoxy, pious conduct, faithfulness and loyalty in keeping the obligations. Timothy's faith, therefore, is a genuine faith in the sense of accepted Christian teaching. It is sincere, not polluted by pretense or hypocrisy." End of quote. And the writer recognizes in several places, both in 1 and 2 Timothy, some of that about Timothy, that faith and how it has grown and how it has matured and how it is lived out. But where did he get that faith? Where did Timothy get that faith? Now, he was guided some by Paul, but that's not where the faith originated in Timothy. Where did he learn the faith and how to live it? How to live it faithfully. His forebears. Not his dad, though. His grandmother, Lois. And his mother, Eunice. Both of whom lived this faith first. Both of whom lived this faith first. And they lived it before God and before Timothy. They are held up and praised here as the models, as the teachers, as the true Christian influence. Interestingly enough, both the names Lois and Eunice are Greek. We do know from the book of Acts that Timothy's father was a Greek, but who never embraced the Christian faith. He was married to a Jewish woman. Eunice and Lois became Christians somewhere along the line before Timothy. And they came to this Christian faith out of a sense of love and life. They recognized that it wasn't just enough to say one believed and then go about your business any old way you wanted to, but rather, if they were to truly accept this faith, it was to be part and parcel of who they were and how they lived. The Greek word here, enokeson, literally means to be at home. To be at home. It speaks of a depth and an extent to which faith has become where they live and part of how they live. It's an integral part of every aspect of their lives. Timothy had been impacted deeply by the faith of his grandmother and the faith of his mother. And not just as they taught him to pray at night, or as they told him stories from the Bible, which for them would have been the Hebrew Scriptures, and stories about what they had learned of God in Jesus. They didn't just tell him and impact him. When he looked at them, he saw it lived. He saw the care and the love coming through. In Judaism, you may be aware that the family was and is the primary locus of learning, especially about religion. Passing on the traditions of the faith from generation to generation. And that's what Lois and Eunice were doing with the Christian faith. they've passed the torch. They passed the torch. Part of the idea that came to me about talking about passing the torch here is because then the writer says, so rekindle or fan into flames that which was placed within you, that which burns as a torch, leading you and guiding you and changing you. They passed the torch, the fire for the faith, which lives in them, and the writer says, now lives in you. You know, fire is one of those things that people sometimes describe, especially if it gets out of hand and starts rushing through forests or across grasslands, that it seems to have a life of its own as it moves, as it lives. That faith which lives in Timothy and which he now passes along. In verse 6, the writer gives encouragement. Encouragement to be faithful to the gift of God. And encouragement not to be ashamed to give the testimony. Lois and Eunice were not ashamed to give testimony to Timothy and to others about the good gift that God had given to them. The gift of life, the gift of love and of care. He's to rekindle or fan that gift, charisma, which typically is understood as a grace gift. But it's not a grace gift given for us to keep within ourselves. It is one that we are then to pass along and to share. Part of the gift, we're told here, is the spirit of power, dunamis, spiritual strength, to remain faithful. Grounded in agape, love, and with self-control. Sophorismu. Self-control. This is the only place in the New Testament that word is used for self-control. Other places it's translated as moderation. But here it's self-control. Being able to look and reason and use good judgment and prudence. He saw within Lois and Eunice persons who were very dear to him, but who exercised self-control and prudence as they lived their faith. He learned this from his mom and his grandmom. So, ladies, moms, those of you who are mothers and mother figures to those who have come up through your Sunday school classes, your GAs, your missions groups, or perhaps those with whom you just spend some time and give some extra attention to at other times in the church and in the neighborhood. You have a legacy to pass on, as we all do. But sometimes the ways that ladies pass on that legacy is less harsh, seems to be more caring than from other places. So you do have a legacy to pass on, a legacy of sincere, active, persevering faith, which connects with belief and everyday living. You have the ability to influence generations in untold ways because God equips you with faith and faith-filled work. Ladies, you have and can continue to help fan the flames of sincere faith in children all around. Sincere faith intellectually and loyally. Nurturing folks for God, regardless of what age those children might be. God wants us all to use our gifts and to continue gracing people, And so, ladies, I ask you to continue gracing us. Gracing us with a strong spirit of piety. Helping us to have disciplined minds and lives which bring us all to pass on the torch which you carry and which you pass along to us and to others with whom you come in contact. Please keep passing the torch of strong faith. This is not written down, but just kind of flowed through my brain, and I know it surprises you that I'm going to say something that just kind of flowed into my brain. Ladies, gentlemen, all of us, whether we're moms, dads, grandmoms, granddads, mother figures, father figures, neighbors, friends, it is through those kinds of relationships that oftentimes the most meaningful things happen in life. It was obviously true with Timothy and what happened in his life. And if we decided to give opportunity today for people to stand up and to tell something about important influence on your life, we'd be here a long time, and ladies would be at the root of a lot of that. But I want to challenge each one of us, men, women, moms, dads, grandmoms, granddads, those who are Sunday school teachers, other leaders, and have been. Let's recommit ourselves today, starting from this point on, not using excuses to say, well, you know, I really can't, or I used to, but I'm worn out. But let us fan the flames of our own faith, rekindle that faith with a life that then we can share in legacy with others around us so that they too might fan the flame of sincere faith with the mind, with religious piety, and with understanding of what is right, what is good, and what is part of passing the torch. May we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for folks like Lois and Eunice and so many others throughout the ages who have passed along the torch of sincere faith, not of weak faith and not of shallow faith, but a faith that seeks to connect with you in deeper ways throughout our lives. Lord, as we plead for our ladies to continue, we also plead for all Christians to be committed to passing the torch of faith for our sake, but even more so for the sake of the world with which you have entrusted us. We thank you for those examples. We pray that you will fan the flames of even more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Jesus is Son of God. But Jesus also learned at the knee of a mom. And in a few moments, we're going to come to table and remember His care for us, His love for us. As we prepare for that, may we sing hymn number 460, Let Us Break Bread Together. Our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make. But as we sing, let us prepare our hearts for sharing this meal. Number 460.